I'm Rachel Waldholtz.
And I'm Ellen Chenoweth.
So how do you figure out how many humpbacks there were before whaling?
One name for it is a back calculation.
That's Paul Wade. He's a biologist with the National Marine Mammal Laboratory. And he says, in theory at least, answering this question isn't that complicated. You take the number of humpbacks killed during commercial whaling, and you add that back to the current population, while taking into account things like population growth.
So all you really need is a good, complete, and accurate record of the whaling numbers, how many whales were killed.
A good, complete, and accurate record of how many whales were killed. Do we have that?
That can be the most difficult part.
I can kind of give a short background history of the Soviet whaling as where it started, was falsifying.
Soviets falsifying? That sounds more like a Cold War thriller than marine biology.
My name is Yulia Ivashenko, and originally I'm from Russia, so that's where my accent is from.
Ivashenko is also a biologist at the National Marine Mammal Laboratory in Seattle.
She spent years studying the secret Soviet history of whaling.
And when most people imagine whaling, they picture Moby Dick. But in the North Pacific, industrial whaling was a 20th century phenomenon, and it was conducted by just a few countries, especially the Soviet Union and Japan.
And by 1946, the whaling nations had signed on to form the International Whaling Commission.
It set limits on how many whales could be taken and what kind. It actually banned killing humpbacks after 1966 because their numbers were so low.
So in other words, whaling in the Pacific was pretty recent, and there's tons of records. But the problem is that for a long time, the records were wrong.
The problem with the Soviet whaling was that our system in the Soviet Union, economical system, was very different from what it was in other countries.
Under the Soviet system, every industry had targets to meet.
And that was why the Soviet whalers, they would go and try to kill as many whales as possible. Because if you kill many whales and you reach your target number, you will get a very nice bonus as a salary.
And the more whales you kill, the more bonus you get. So it was way more important to beat those targets than to abide by whaling regulations.
So in this regard, Soviet whalers just ignored everything. So they were killing any whale they wanted and in any place they wanted.
And then they'd lie to the whaling commission. Now, some scientists outside the Soviet Union suspected this was happening, but they couldn't prove it until a chance meeting in the early 90s.
So what happened was there was this American biologist, Bob Brunel, and he's talking to his Russian colleague, a guy named Alexei Yoblikov, and he's basically just complaining about how little biological data there is for right whales.
And mentioning that, Yoblikov actually said that, oh, I can provide you with a lot more of biological data on the right whales. So Bob asked, actually, so how many are you talking about? Is it 5, 10, 15? He said a few hundreds.
And that's how it started to come out. It turned out that most of these boats were keeping two sets of records. The falsified version would go to the whaling commission, but the true catch records were also preserved. After the fall of the Soviet Union, it became possible to make those numbers public. In 1994, Yablokov published the first paper laying out the true scale of Soviet whaling, and it totally stunned people, because these numbers are huge. In 60 years of Soviet whaling in the Southern Ocean, so that's all the water south of the equator, they killed 330,000 whales, but they only reported 185,000. That's just over half. In one season in the North Pacific, the Soviet fleet caught over 15,000 sperm whales. Ivashenko says a single boat could process up to 200 whales in a day.
I'm sorry, can we just stop and do the math on that? Because that's like more than 8 whales an hour. I feel like we need to take a step back and just explain how that's even possible.
Yeah, it was this massive endeavor. A whaling fleet would have a central factory ship with up to 800 people on board. And then they'd have the catcher boats.
And so pretty much their job was to spread around during the day and go looking for whales.
So you just have to imagine this line of catcher boats just stretched out across the horizon for over 200 miles, moving across the ocean in a line, just trolling for whales.
Yeah, they were incredibly efficient, and they just were very efficient at finding whales and killing them. Just staggering, we have anything alive in the ocean left.
Soviet scientists went to heroic lengths to save the real data. Ivashenko tells the story of Dmitry Tormasov. He was a biologist with the fleet, and his job was to organize these documents called whale passports. They basically had information on every individual whale that was killed, exactly the kind of information that Bob Brownell was after for right whales. After the data was analyzed, the passports were usually destroyed, but he held on to them, storing them in his potato cellar.
They didn't have the status of the secret documents, but I don't think it would be anything positive if anybody knew that he's hiding this original information in his house.
Right, because while they may not have had the status of secret documents, there's really only two reasons why you keep something in a potato cellar. Either you think it might get you into trouble, or because it's a potato. I mean, this guy's my hero.
And because of stories like that, by the mid-2000s, scientists had managed to piece together pretty accurate records for the Southern Ocean, which is where the most intense whaling took place. But until recently, the numbers in the North Pacific were still a mystery. Then Ivashenko took a trip to Vladivostok.
So I wasn't expecting much.
Ivashenko went there to visit scientists who'd worked on the ships, and they suggested she visit a public archive.
And then I found this pile of different kinds of reports.
And those reports included true catch numbers from boats in the North Pacific, sitting there in a dusty public archive in eastern Russia.
And what did you think when you're sitting in this archive, they bring you the catalog, did you think like, oh my God, Eureka? Or did it take a while to be like, oh God?
Oh no, once I saw the list and I asked them so I can order any of these reports, I knew I found the treasure.
Ivashenko has been back 4 or 5 times. So far, she estimates the Soviet fleet killed 190,000 whales in the North Pacific, mostly sperm whales, and only reported 169,000. Those are smaller numbers than in the Southern Ocean, but there were fewer whales to begin with. And because the population in the North Pacific was much smaller, Ivashenko says the impact was actually larger.
In the case of humpback whales, she estimates that the Soviets took about 7,000, and most of that in the space of just 3 years.
And this is the missing piece. Literally, the math people have been waiting for Ivashenko's numbers to plug into their models. And once they run those models, we'll have a good estimate of how many humpbacks roamed the Pacific before industrial whaling. But this isn't a quick process. Here's Paul Wade again.
So I've made the calculations sound relatively simple, but in fact, for humpback whales, it's not so simple. We're now in a position where we can move forward with that process, but it will still be complicated and it will still take multiple years to actually get the analyses done.
The decision on whether or not to remove humpbacks from the endangered species list will come sooner. And that's because when it comes to the Endangered Species Act, it's actually not about getting humpbacks back to historic numbers. It's about something much narrower. So, to delist or not to delist? That's the question next time. In Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholz.
And I'm Ellen Chenoweth.